entertained? Are you not entertained?
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
Gather around the TV, kids, for the Video Land Animation Hour. That's my animation voice.
I hadn't been in here a while. I thought that's how your voice sounded.
Dude, I almost said that's my anxiety voice.
It's a little bit.
Your inner anxiety. That's how it sounds.
Whenever I'm anxious, it's like, hello there.
Hi, Brad. Time for a panic attack.
Do either one of you guys have a good animation voice?
I do a great Mickey Mouse.
No!
I'm kidding.
Oh, boy. That's the only thing I can do.
Oh, oh boy. Tell us about it, Kyle.
God, yours is pretty good, too.
Oh, boy. Ha! Hot dog. Say
I
welcome to Video Land.
I used to be a really good cat, man.
Do that again.
I used to be a really good cat, man.
That's not as good as it used to be. It used to be better.
Say welcome to the Video Land Extravaganza animation episode.
That's too many words.
Respect my torta.
What do you got?
I only got Mickey Mouse.
Is that cool? Give me a...
I can't do anymore, Brad.
Oh, boy.
He feels overshadowed by us now.
No, I know. You guys are so talented.
My gosh, Scoob.
Oh, that was quite good.
I've never done that one before. I just tried it.
Impromptu.
Not bad. You're not going to win any awards, no. But not bad.
Sure. Yeah, you are not getting
it. Well, Kyle's an actor.
So are you.
Say that again, but in an animated voice.
Kyle's an actor. Kyle's an
actor. You're like Patrick Warburton. You've only got one voice. You're just doing Patrick Warburton the whole time.
What animal would you be if you were in an animated movie?
Oh, shit. You go first.
You're kind of Eeyore-ish.
Yeah, Eeyore-ish. I want to be a donkey. Is that what he is?
Yeah,
a donkey.
A donkey. With that voice.
Wait. Is he a donkey?
Yeah, he's a donkey. You get to pin the tail on a donkey.
Because that's why his tail comes off. Okay, yeah, I got you. Oh, that's cool. I never thought that.
You haven't watched the Pooniverse, though?
Pooniverse. Dude, I'd be a peacock. With a queer sense of humor.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, they all let you fly. Wouldn't they?
Or a mouse with like a French accent. Daniel, welcome to the animation episode, Video Land. All right, guys, we are now accepting animated movie pitches. I like that. What is that?
That's just my laugh.
I want an animated movie with a little mouse that laughs like that.
Give us your money, Video Land.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, a movie pitch, maybe a story about a dumb little animal that's down on his luck, and he finds hope in an unexpected place.
Yeah.
Or some bullshit like that.
A capybara that's, you know, got stage 2 liver cancer.
A kung fu ogre who has a lizard friend. That's original.
Yeah, we got it.
All right, what's up, Video Landers? I'm your host, Brad McBoom, and with me tonight is...
Oh, boy. Wait.
Nathan Plattinger!
Nathan.
Cow Brown!
All right, we also have a guest playing along tonight, Matthew Wade. He sent in his awards, and we will see how his awards stack up against ours. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great, man.
All right, and before we get started, I want to remind everyone that you can find us on adventuresinvideoland.com or on our Facebook at Adventures in Videoland. We are critics with attitude, which means we are uncensored, so please proceed with caution. Also, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil the movies we're talking about tonight, so if you don't want them ruined, pause the episode and come back later. Nathan, we might have some new listeners tonight. How do the Golden Idols work?
Well, the Golden Idols are essentially awards, right? We're going to go through each one of these films category by category, like best location, best quote, or screenplay. And whenever we give them an award, it's a Golden Idol, essentially. So at the end of the night, the film with the most Golden Idols is our Golden Idol winner.
All right, Kyle, let's kick it over to you. What movies did we watch, and how do they stack up against each other?
Well, we've got a fantastic four-way here tonight. We are starting with 2000's Chicken Run. Our high on Rotten Tomatoes at 97%, but our low on IMDb. Very rare that we have a high on one and a low on the other. Directed by Nick Park and Peter Lorre. Nick Park, famous for Wallace and Gromit, so you might know him from that. Starring Julia Sawalha, Mel Gibson, Phil Daniels, and Timothy Spall. 2008's Kung Fu Panda, our low on Rotten Tomatoes at 87%, a respectable score. 7.6 on IMDb, directed by Mark Osborne and John Stevenson, starring Jack Black, Ian McShane, Dustin Hoffman, and Angelina Jolie. We have from 2011, Rango, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.3 on IMDb, directed by Gore Verbinski, starring Johnny Depp, Isla Fisher, Bill Nighy, and Ned Beatty. And finally, we have from 2001, Shrek at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, our high on IMDb at 7.9, directed by Andrew Adamson and Vicky Jensen, starring Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and John Lithgow.
All right. And real quick, this was tough because there's sequels to most of these movies that a lot of people love. You know,
absolutely. Honestly, these are some of the better sequels, you know, that we've gotten from movies, too. Like, I know a lot of people love all the Shreks and the Kung Fu Pandas and shit, too. So.
Off of cast, Nathan was just telling me how much he likes Shrek 2. You haven't seen it for a while, but you remember liking Shrek 2.
Correct, yeah.
And it was hard when I was putting this together, because Shrek is at, as you said, 88%, right? Mm-hmm. Shrek 2, 89%.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say they like Shrek 2
more. Yeah, so which do you go with, right? Kung Fu Panda, 87%. Is that what you said? 87? Mm-hmm. And Part 2 is 81%. Part 3 is 86%. Pretty comparable scores. Yeah. So I figured the best thing to do is just, you know, go with the origin story.
I think it's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and we haven't done an animation episode since 2017.
Was that Miyazaki, your Studio Ghibli one, Disney. Probably? Was it Disney?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know why I know that?
Because that's when you had a vasectomy.
Yes, yes. I got my ball snipped in 2017, and I remember I had to watch all these Disney movies while I was lying on the couch with ice on my balls.
Yeah.
Flipping between March Madness and Disney movies.
It was just a weird experience watching Lion King and just icing your balls.
Yeah. Thinking about, I'll never have a son to take over my lineage again.
It just felt wrong. I don't know. It felt dirty. But anyway, some insight here. Why these four movies? Great segue, right?
Yeah.
Balls, icing balls. My balls to why these four movies. I've been wanting to do an episode with what I call genre gateway movies.
Yeah.
We have martial arts here, fantasy, a prison break, and a western. So that's why we're doing this episode, this lineup of movies tonight. Any comments before we get started, Nathan?
No, I think that's super cool, actually. You know what I mean? Like, these are... I wouldn't have thought to put them together in that way, but it's totally true. Like, these are, this is a, like, Rango is actually a great, like, Western. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Fantasy adventure, martial arts. Like, yeah, these are, you don't think of them as, like, genre gateway films for kids, but that's exactly what they are.
Yeah. It's super cool. All these movies take homages from other films that we've covered in marathons in the past, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, where it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that from a fucking Shaw Brothers movie, or I remember that from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and I remember, you know, like, just stuff like that, and that's cool.
I almost took Shrek out and put in How to Train Your Dragon, but I knew Kyle would kill me.
That was when we talked about.
Oh, really?
We talked about it. Okay, I was like, man, I would have put How to Train Your, because to me, I think How to Train Your Dragon, one of the best trilogies ever made.
Okay.
The third movie makes me cry harder than just about any movie I've ever watched in my entire life.
I don't remember them. I need to rewatch
them. Ooh, that third one is.
That's funny you said
that
thing, because I was like, man, Kyle will kill me if I don't put Shrek in here, because I know you're a big Shrek.
I mean, Shrek, yeah, that's right,
Yeah, so that almost made the cut, but Shrek, you know, so.
Yeah.
All right, Nathan, do you want to start us off tonight?
Sure.
All right, location tonight goes to?
Best location is... Chorgom Prison from Kung Fu Panda. It is a fucking picture this, right? A mountain fortress, 3,000 feet deep, situated among the, like, snowy Mongolian peaks, where an army of jailers called the Anvil of Heaven guard a single prisoner who's at the bottom of this fucking chasm, weighted down by giant boulders and, like, immobilized by acupuncture and shit. That's sick as fuck. fuck. And, like, the entire place is, like, rigged with explosives. So in case he ever does get out, they'll bring down the whole fucking mountain on him. That's fucking cool. Yeah. That's a cool fucking location.
That is cool.
It seems like a lot of work. Just fucking shoot the guy.
You can't shoot him. He's kung fu.
Just shoot him.
Just
like,
cut off his dick and slit his throat.
Yeah.
You don't get kung fu, Kyle. It's not that fucking easy, man.
Kyle, where are you going?
I am going with Dirt and the surrounding areas from Rango.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the name of the town is Dirt. Because watching it, like, you know, we've watched a lot of Westerns and stuff for this, but, like, I don't feel like we explore the desert that much when we watch these Westerns. Mm. And the whole beginning of Rango, specifically, like, they're exploring things that you just don't see in movies very often. And, like, it felt more real and felt more dry, like, than I've seen in movies before. Like, it's pretty fucking fantastic. And it's just cool to see a movie set in the Old West that's animated and stuff. And I said maybe since Fievel Goes West, if we had a fucking animated, you know, like, Western town. And it was just, yeah, I really liked it with the whole fucking Chinatown sort of plot that's going on in town. Yeah, I love that shit. There's, like, a golf course that they fucking built. Like,
yeah,
it's cool stuff.
All right, what did Matthew have to say?
Believe it or not, boys.
Where'd he go?
Chorgon Prison! Chorgon Prison! It's dark, it's deep, it's intimidating, with several clever traps to keep prisoner, from escaping, especially the archers and the suspended stone pillars. Just looks really cool with all the lit torches and intersecting walkways.
And that's what Matt has to say?
That's what he has to say.
Did you copy off of him?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
No original thoughts from Nathan tonight.
All right, my best location is Tweety's Farm. From Chicken Run.
Okay.
It's straight out of movies like The Great Escape or Stalag
17.
I just love this idea of taking a classic prison escape movie and replacing humans with chickens. You know, just such a great idea that the chickens are caged in these World War II style prison camps. You got the high fence, you got the barbed wire, the escape tunnel. Just a fun, creative location. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Tweety's Farm, going with Chicken Run. That All takes right. us to best character, Nathan.
In my opinion, Rango.
Rango!
Is a brilliant adaptation and sort of reinterpretation of, like, the man with no name.
Yeah.
Because he's an actor, you know, he can be anyone. And so, like, that's super cool when he's going on this journey of self-discovery and figuring out, like, who he is. And, like, just this story where, like, he finds out that, you know, you can't walk out on your own story and that kind of stuff. Like, Rango's so fucking cool. As a deconstruction of, like, that man with no name thing specifically, I just really like him.
Nice.
Kyle, where are you going?
For me, it's got to be Donkey from Shrek. Nice. There's something.
It's a hard one to beat.
Yeah, like, I mean, Eddie Murphy won a fucking BAFTA for... It's the only, like, voice actor to ever win a BAFTA award for playing a character. Donkey's just, like, he's so funny. He's so quippy. Like, literally everything he says makes me just fucking laugh. And Eddie Murphy just does it fucking beautifully.
You think he's a little too much sometimes, though?
But I think that's why he works, is that he's so fucking annoying.
By the way, I like him. I think sometimes he can be a little much, but I do like him.
I think definitely in the later movies, like they just rely too heavily on it. But I think he has some of the more sentimental moments in the movie, too. Yeah, like, he's the one that brings the plot back around and brings everyone to a level-headed area, and then you're like, oh, where the fuck did that come from? And then another, I ate berries and started farting kind of jokes, but, you know, like, but I don't know, there's just something about Donkey that just makes me laugh, and, like, just the character design, like, he looks like a donkey, but, like, there's just so much life in this fucking little animated donkey.
He's great. What did Matt have to say?
Donkey!
Did you copy off
of him? I did. He's loyal, supportive, over-eager, very much like a dog. Portrayed as Eddie Murphy, who is consistently hilarious, delivers most of the film's best jokes and laughs. Murphy makes Donkey more than just comic relief by making him lovable and sympathetic.
All right. I love movies about characters pretending to be, you know, something they're not. Faking it until they make it. Miss Doubtfire, Aladdin, list goes on. Some Like It Hot, and Rango, you know, and he's this actor just trying to get by. He's trying to find his place in the world, and he gets sucked into this Western story where he has to pretend to be a badass cowboy. He has to pretend to be the Clint Eastwood, you know, of his own story and save the day. And I think Rango is just a fun character, man. I love that he's an actor. you know, it's a big selling point for me. You know, I love movies about movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of Johnny Depp's best characters, hands down. He's quirky. He's funny. He's kind of a hot mess. The quintessential Johnny Depp character, honestly. And I think Rango has the best character design. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but the crooked neck.
Yeah, there's something jarring about him not being pristine.
Yeah, like, big head, the Hawaiian shirt. I even love when, you know, he has the cowboy outfit on, man. And just like I just love his wardrobe, his character design. Like, I think Rango's just the best character out of this marathon, so that's where I'm going.
The cool thing about the character, too, is that, like, and it's like, I love all these films because they are, like, super genre films, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, like, it sounds stupid, but yeah, they're super genre films. And, like, that he goes on this journey where, like, he's pretending to be someone and doesn't even realize at the time he's becoming that person. You know, he is becoming this resourceful leader that he's pretending to be, you know? And, like, just toward the end, right, where, like, he gets exposed for his lies, you know? And he has that sort of the low point in the film. And the Spirit of the West tells him that, like, it's not about you, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's not about who you are. It's about them. You know what I mean? And what you mean
that's,
to them.
That's so good.
Like, and it's and that's... He goes from... It's just... He's such a fucking cool character,
man. Yeah,
he's
so cool.
He's such a cool character.
Best score or soundtrack?
Hans Zimmer for...
Rango!
Well, it's a tie. Hans Zimmer. First, I'll say Kung Fu Panda. It is, like, humble and traditional, but also at times, like, it's quite contemporary. It's fun. It's thrilling. It's heroic. It's inspiring. Like, Zimmer does everything on this soundtrack, like, and he's got all I know he went to, like, China and got their symphony or whatever and brought them into, like, London, and they did some like I'm so impressed with, like, the blending of, like, traditional and modern styles to make something that's, like, unique. And then Hans Zimmer again for fucking Rango. Dude, Hans Zimmer, shout out Hans Zimmer.
Did Hans Zimmer do Apollo 13? No, who was that?
I don't think so, never mind. Like, okay.
It's like, damn, he's going hard. Last two episodes.
I heard a quote about Hans Zimmer's Rango score. And again, I know they went to Mexico and got, like, proper Mexican musicians to do a lot of Rango? For Rango.
Fucking Los Lobos, dude.
Well, yeah. And they were like, you know, because you can get anyone to play it, but you need someone who, like, fucking
sounds Mexican,
it. Yeah,
right?
Who, like, feels it. You can hear that, you know?
And he says that, too. And he's like, I don't mean that in a bad way. He's
right,
like,
yeah,
I need someone to sound, give that Mexican, you know, twang on it.
There was a quote that was like, you know, it's walking a very difficult line between not just handing off another Morricone Western pastiche, but still, like, capturing the flavor of Westerns that so much tip their hats to Morricone. That's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't make it a Morricone soundtrack, but definitely make it inspired by Morricone.
Yeah, somewhere in between Ennio Morricone and the Lone Wolf McQuaid soundtrack.
True. And such great original songs. It's fun. Some of, like, the Western tracks, like, I think it's, like, Rango Returns or something. Fuck, that hits hard, man. That's, like, where he comes back, and he's, like, got the poncho on and the hat. He, like, is the badass, you know? Like, oh, it's so fucking good, man.
So good.
I, too, am going Hans Zimmer for Rango.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's playing into the pastiche without sounding like it's trying to be a pastiche. Mm-hmm. Trying to, like, fit in to being a Western, and just actually is a fucking Western with its music, and going and getting authentic, you know, Mexican instrumentalists and vocalists. I love when movies, you know, the music, when it's in the movie, it is playing a role, and you have these four fucking owls out in the desert, this little mariachi band just coming in all the time.
Lobos,
like,
yeah.
Fucking awesome. I really like the music in Rango, and all the original shit's fucking good, too.
Yeah.
All right, what did Matt say?
Rango, you must. Hans Zimmer and various songs. I feel like this will otherwise be a sweep for Shrek, he says.
Oh, wow.
But fuck it, this is where I'm going. By the way, he's up fucking Shrek's ass in these awards. this is where I'm going. Genuinely a great Western score with a familiar but stirring themes, a clever use of instruments, especially banjos during Ride of the Valkyries. Particularly love the Mexican ballads with the fun melodies and very amusing dialogue.
Yeah, he sent me his awards, and I go, God damn, man. 9 for Shrek. Spoiler alert. Best score soundtrack. First off, I'm going with Shrek for the iconic opening melody. That DreamWorks Shrek melody by Dana Glover. I almost said Donald Glover.
Yeah, yeah. Childish Gambino.
You know what I'm talking about, though? That Shrek melody, that opening melody. I love that. But then also for using Smash Mouth. Mm-hmm. It works for some weird reason. Maybe a little bit of nostalgia there because I kind of grew up with Shrek. Shrek was my favorite, my son's favorite movie when I was like fucking 20. You know, so we watched Shrek on repeat. You know,
we'll and then talk about that later too. That specific song.
Dude, my son was scared of Shrek. I'll talk about that later. He would cry still when Shrek. Still is. Yeah, he still is. He's 23. But Smash Mouth, the melody, the opening melody. But then also, there's some fun and charming songs in this, like the Robin Hood song.
Oh, yeah.
The Robin Hood and the Merry Men.
Yeah.
And this is a blink and you miss it kind of moment or song, but it's the Welcome to Duloc song.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
they go into Duloc and they're like,
shoes, wipe your
yeah, please stay face. Off the grass, shine your shoes, wipe your face. I love those little songs there. So I had to go with Shrek. And then, but also going with Rango. And I can't really add, you know, more than what you guys have already said.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Zimmer gives us a classic Western score. And we get original songs by Los Lobos, who narrates Rango's adventures. So, going with Shrek and Rango.
Beautiful. I love that they use Hallelujah really well in Shrek.
Yeah, they do.
But they use like the worst version of it. Version like you didn't use the Leonard Cohen version of it. You didn't use the Jeff Buckley version of it, bro. It's like
what's the Watchmen version? Who sings
that's
in
Watchmen? In Watchmen when
they're fucking in a spaceship.
I'm pretty sure that's the Buckley
that's
version.
The one they use in that is the Leonard Cohen version of it.
Is it
the original? Okay. Yeah, he has the real deep voice. Jeff.
And we're dropping all kinds of knowledge tonight, man. Watchmen, Ennio Morricone, Lone Wolf McQuade. All right, that takes us to best quote.
Those are Matt's awards. Best quote.
Shrek.
mine's a tie. The first one's from Kung Fu Panda, and it is, "One often meets his destiny on the road he takes to avoid it." I love that.
That's what my fortune cookie said this morning.
Wait, hold on.
Why are you eating Chinese in the morning?
I'm crazy.
Can I tell you guys something? This is a little off topic. I got a fortune cookie the other day.
For breakfast?
My wife and I got some fortune cookies. We went out to a Chinese restaurant, opened it up, and there was an advertisement for like some rapper, like a hip-hop artist. And then on the front, it said, there was a quote by the hip-hop artist. And I was like, well, what's mine say? I opened it up and it was like saying that you could download music at Napster, and I was like, how old is this fucking cookie, bro?
Napster. Holy
it was
fuck.
An ad for Napster, and I was like, what the fuck,
guys? So, if you're younger, Napster is what the dinosaurs used to listen to.
Napster is iTunes but illegal
for dinosaurs.
Hey, use this illegal service.
So when cookie. Jesus had an iPod Nano.
So the point, apparently, Napster's still around. It's
what?
Just now it's like a streaming service.
They just
anyway,
make tattoos.
doesn't matter.
Shit.
So one often meets his destiny on the road he takes to. Yes, I love that, and it also like it leads into the prison, right? So obviously the only reason they go to the prison is because of that warning, like you know, Tai Lung's coming back. Go double the guard or whatever. He only gets out because the fucking goose goes there and his feather comes off. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, and I love that. Like, yeah, it sets up that scene immediately. Like, yeah, he would never have gotten out except you tried to stop him from getting out. Yeah.
Nice. By the way, you just triggered a thought. Are you done? I'm sorry.
No, I got another one, but go ahead.
Okay. You just triggered a thought, and I don't know if it's going to come up later. If you guys are going to talk about it, cut me off, and we'll talk about it later. But who plays the voice of the goose? It's not in any of my awards, but he was so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Big Trouble Little China, dude.
Yeah.
It's not James. No, James. Is it James Hall?
James Hall.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, James Hall. He is
he's
fucking
so
good in that.
I know.
I wanted to give him an award. I have nothing in my notes to talk about him, so I just kind of wanted to shoehorn that in there. He is so good.
Yeah.
Is he in Kung Fu Panda 2 and 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Bryan Cranston comes in as Poe's actual dad.
Okay.
But his dad is James Hong, right?
Yeah, Pong. Right?
Is it?
Right.
Yeah, Pong is played by James
Hong? I'm looking it up. James Hong. I can't find it. I don't know.
Where I had to throw some love.
Mr. Ping, Ping, Ping.
Mr. Ping. Is James Hong, right?
Yeah.
So yes. Good. So anyway, I didn't want to cut you off. I just didn't have anywhere to celebrate him, and he's fucking great.
I agree. The other quote is from Rango, and it's the spirit of the West. These days, they got a name for just about everything. It doesn't matter what they call you. It's the deeds make the man. Nice. That is as Western a quote as you will ever hear. Yeah. Like, and it's just, that's like, again, like, in the context of a story where you're talking to an actor who can be anyone, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he can be anyone. He's struggling with who he really is. And then to be like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's what you do, you know? And that's like, it's fucking great, man. It's just like, that's just a core Western concept. And they just fucking nail it.
You make my favorite quote sound like shit.
I went with something funny. So now I feel like,
goddamn, Nathan. Go ahead.
All right, so like I had never watched Kung Fu Panda before. This was my first viewing.
I love Kung Fu.
It's not that. No, I don't know why this particular line just tickled the fuck out of me. But it was the Furious Five. You're so much bigger than your action figures. Except you, Mantis. You're about the same. You're about the same. I don't know. That just, it fucking hit me real weird. And like, I was like, it's got to take a point, because if it makes you laugh that fucking much unexpectedly.
I had never seen it.
I had never seen Kung Fu Panda. Really? I had never seen Chicken Run or Rango.
So I have one just like that, but for Chicken Run.
Yeah.
That made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did Matt say?
Oh. What's Shrek?
Shrek. Hey, donkey.
Actually, you'll be surprised. It's from Rango.
Ooh.
It says, control the water and you control everything. I wasn't expecting such a deep truth from an animated kids movie, but it really stuck with me as the mayor, Ned Beatty. And by the way, shout out Ned Beatty.
He's doing his best Chinatown impression. So fucking good.
He declares this so sinisterly but emphatically that it's impossible to argue with him. As history bears this out, most of the world's wealthiest cities are near large bodies of water. And then he says something about Shrek.
All right, well, I'm going with the... one that's just about as lame as yours, guys. I'm going with a very simple catchphrase from Kung Fu Panda, and it's the thing you say after you kick someone's ass, and it's skadoosh. It's just a very Jack Black thing to say, you know? And I guess he picked up the quote from Nacho Libre, working on Nacho Libre, and which is a very underrated movie. Fucking love Nacho Libre. But yeah, skadoosh, it's just one of those words. I think why I like it so much, it's after the movie's over, it's like drilled into your head. Like all week at work, you know, like I do my thing and then I'm like, skadoosh, you know, skadoosh, you know? So going Kung Fu Panda, you know how you said you had, one that just was kind of funny to you?
Yeah.
Chicken Run, you know, Nick the Rat, the rats that are trying to get the eggs.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but Nick the Rat says, so we slipped into the farmer's room, all quiet-like. And Fetcher says, yeah, like a fish. And Nick goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we, like a fish?
Yeah.
You stupid. Dude, I was like laughing out. You stupid, Norbert. Stuck in this house like a fish. So stupid. All right, that takes us to best screenplay.
So I went with John Logan with story by John Logan, Gore Verbinski, and James Berkowitz. Rango. It's got strong Western theme. Wait, I just said this like fucking 10 times, but it's like it is like a strong Western theme. reimagined and adapted in this new style. It understands these like core Western characters, like the outlaw, the lawman. You know what I mean? Like it just gets them. It takes this formula and it just makes it fresh. Yeah. It makes, you know what I mean? It's just a different
interpretation. I agree with you. Yeah.
For me, I'm going with William Steig, Ted Elliott, and Terry Rossio for Shrek. I think Shrek is like super fucking inventive. I think you know, taking your fairy tale tropes and stuff, but like turning a lot of them on their heads and then just adding cuss words in it, just like it was. Yeah. I mean, especially it sounds stupid, but like at that time, like hey, you don't fucking do that for a goddamn kids movie. You know, like there was South Park and stuff, but like that was not geared towards children. Shrek is geared towards children, but like still cusses and is like not afraid to like be dirty and gross, you know? And like, I don't know, there's just something about it. It's a simple story, but like there's a lot of just like really just hilarious dialogue throughout the whole fucking movie, and it turns a lot of things on its head in ways that you don't expect by the time it gets to it.
Nice. Yeah. What did Matt say?
He agrees with Kyle. He says Shrek. He says it script-wise, it's a perfect blend of like pop culture references from like Babe, The Dating Game, Dumbo. It's full of gross-out humor, sexual innuendo, send-ups of fairy tale characters and stories. However, it also features a great central relationship between Shrek and Donkey, genuinely great romance between Shrek and Fiona, resulting in individual character growth as well as mutual character growth, and an unconventional love interest in Fiona, who is a fighter. This is a long sentence, and isn't afraid of it. Isn't afraid of a fighter, and isn't afraid of Shrek. There you go. Okay.
So he's going Shrek.
The answer is Shrek. Shrek.
What is Shrek?
All right,
what
guys. What is
Shrek?
Best screenplay. This was between Shrek and Rango. I'm using my last tie. First off, I think Shrek is a great story about beauty and happiness and, you know, just a great love story. And it's a modern-day fairy tale. It deconstructs fairy tales. It's a celebration of fairy tales. It's a spoof of fairy tales. Man, I really do think it's brilliant. And Rango, you know, at first glance, it's a silly kids movie. You know, funny-looking lizard that says funny things, does funny things. But, you know, under the surface, the story is about, you know, reflecting on the purpose of life, being true to yourself, finding your place in the world. You know, some deep themes. I think it was Marshall Wade in the comments. You know, he was saying something like, you know, it's too deep for kids. But I think on the at first glance, I think kids can
absolutely
enjoy it.
My kids love
it. Then I think it's something they can grow with because of these deeper themes. Mm-hmm. And I think you said this earlier, Nathan, but I think it's one of the best Westerns in the last 20 years, you know, especially when talking about like the early 2000s, 2010s. I really believe that. And also, it's just a celebration of cinema. You know, there's so many movie references within the story, from Chinatown to Mad Max, like the entire third act, that chase was structured off of Mad Max, Road Warrior. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Shrek and Rango. Nice. That takes us to Best Special Achievement.
Best Special Achievement is going to go to the Academy Award for Best Animated Picture. And I know this is true of two films, but I'm going to say it for Rango. Now, the reason I'm going to do that, right, is because, like, it isn't very often that a film that is not produced by Pixar, by Disney, by DreamWorks, or Studio Ghibli wins this award. In fact, in the last, like, 15 to 20 years, it has only been Rango and Spider-Verse. That has not been one of those studios. And so, like, yeah, I know Shrek also won that award, but, like, of course it did. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when a Pixar movie or a DreamWorks, when it wins Best Animated Picture, I know. Mm-hmm. But when Gore Verbinski, of all fucking people, makes a fucking, but from fucking Nickelodeon Studios, gets Best Animated Picture, then that's something I think is worthy of a special achievement.
Nice. Kyle?
I mean, Shrek was the first film to win an Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
Yeah.
Not where my point's going, though. It's actually going to Chicken Run.
Hmm.
Because Shrek doesn't win that Oscar without Chicken Run.
Chicken Run, yeah.
So basically, 2000 is when Chicken Run came out, and there was a large groundswell that it should be in the top five that year. Like, people thought, like, yes, this should be in the Best Picture discussion. And it wasn't, but because there was such a strong push to get it into the Best Picture discussion, the Oscars went, well, maybe we should have a whole category just for animated films. And so the next year they included it, which the first year was won by Shrek. Nice. So I'm giving it to Chicken Run for paving the way to allow animated films to be looked at as a different form of art.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's fair. And also, like, I'm just like going to go out on a limb here. I don't imagine Chicken Run's going to get a lot of points tonight. I think it's a totally fine movie.
It's fine.
But when you put it up against Shrek and Kung Fu Panda and Rango, guys, come on. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to get fucking destroyed. Best Special Achievement for Matt Shrek.
Continue on.
Going the extra mile to not only re-record Shrek's voice. Okay,
We'll get to that.
We'll get okay. Too. Yes, we're gonna talk about it later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
To not only because of Chris Farley's passing, but also to re-record Mike Myers' dialogue when he was asked to voice Shrek with a Scottish accent. Both Katzenberg and Myers' instincts made the film better, and I can't imagine Shrek going any other way. I agree with that. It's hard to imagine because I'm sure we've all heard like Farley's. He just sounds like Chris Farley. It's hard to imagine. It's even hard to imagine Mike Myers taking it up just and not Mike doing Myers. The accent. Yeah,
They said he did like a country Canadian sort of thing.
Yeah,
got it, but that's horrible.
That would have been weird.
And then like when they tested, I'll talk about it later.
Well, it's hard because he just does. Obviously,
what does that sound like? A country Canadian?
I don't know. Like,
come on, donkey.
What the fuck is that? Not like that, I'm sure. I'm
pretty sure that's not it.
It's weird because I've heard Mike Myers do the fucking Scottish accent.
How to marry an
actor. Yeah, I always think of how
fat bastard, like he's done Scottish before, sounds but like it fits
that.
Shrek.
It absolutely does. It feels weird watching So I Married an Axe Murderer because he sounds like Shrek now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even though it's the other way around. Anyway, go ahead, Brad.
All right, best special achievement. In the history of the Academy Awards, no actor has ever been nominated for voice acting. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Especially when you think about Robin Williams, right?
Yeah.
And just great performers in animation.
Mm-hmm.
But Eddie Murphy did get nominated for a BAFTA for Shrek.
Yeah.
And to this day, he's the only voiceover performance ever nominated for a BAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's insane. So, guys, Eddie Murphy as Donkey is fantastic, man. Perfect casting.
He really is, yeah.
He deserved the win, and more voice actors need to be celebrated, so I'm going with Shrek.
Yeah, and even crazier with Shrek is that all those actors recorded their lines individually. Nobody was in the same room with anybody else at any point.
That's crazy.
So they are not playing off of each other, which is even more impressive, because the way Mike Myers and Eddie, you would think they were standing right next to each other.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Delivering those lines, but no one was in the room with them.
100%.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is, because they have such great chemistry.
They do.
But you don't, they're not even there.
John Lithgow was doing an interview once, and they're like, you know, what's one of your biggest, like, regrets that you've ever had in your career? He's like, that I never actually got to work with Mike Myers or Eddie Murphy. Like, we were in the same movie, but I never met them.
Wow.
Until the premiere.
Yeah. That's all crazy. Right. Yeah.
I can't wait to talk about this next one, best scene, because my best scene is completely stupid.
Yeah, mine too.
But brilliant. But brilliant. So, best scene, Nathan.
It's the I'm Nobody scene from Rango. So it's where he's kind of at his low point and he walks across the road.
You sent this in the group,
I sent
right?
this to you earlier, but just for context.
I love this, by the way.
It's a great scene.
So the film, because it's an arc, right? So in the beginning of the film, obviously, like, he's an actor and he's playing, he's like, I could be, who am I? Like, I could be anyone.
Yeah.
I could be a jungle guy. I could be, you know, I could, you know, be fucking whatever. And it's very cool. It's very playful. And then throughout the course of the film, he gets to this low point where he's like, he doesn't have any idea who he is. Now it's like, who am I? I'm nobody. And so he goes on this, he's at a literal, like, physical and, you know, philosophical kind of crossroads. And he takes a leap of faith in a sense, right? And walks out across the road and just kind of lets destiny take over. And, like, but specifically, what I really like about this is, like, my favorite movie of all time is Indiana Jones' Last Crusade.
Is it your number one?
I think if it's not that, it's like Rocky. You know what I mean? Like, it's right there. And when Indy steps out in the temple on his leap of faith, right? There's a very specific shot where, like, he puts his foot out and then he, like, leans into it and lands on the bridge. And they do the exact same shot.
That's cool.
It's so cool. They do the exact same. And I don't think it's, like, overt either. I think it's, like, it's just one of those things that when you realize what he's doing is he's making a leap of faith, then you connect it to, like, oh, then they're showing you that it's, like, connect. Because, again, it's a love of movies. It's taking homage from other films.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. I think it's so good. Now, what's the stupid scene that you like?
I love that pick, though. That's a great pick.
No, I do.
No, just...
And, it's not that the scene is stupid. It's really funny, but it holds a connection to me, and that's why I chose it. So, like, I work with kids that have autism. I do ABA therapy. And I worked with a kid for a long time. Shrek is his movie. That's
what he watched. God. I know exactly what you're going to say.
You know what I'm talking about. And he watched one scene in particular all day. Four months. And it was, not the gumdrop
right there. That's
all,
really?
It's the whole scene in the dungeon. And like, I've watched that scene more than I've watched any scene in the history of movies. Yep. I've watched it in more languages that he'll be like, I'm just going to fucking listen to it in Portuguese this time. I'm going to listen to it in Chinese. Oh, we're going to listen to Korean. And he would just change the language and he would just listen to it over and over again and just fucking laugh his head off all day because the scene's that just fucking
for
funny.
Years.
Yeah. Years. I'm sure he still does it. I don't work with him anymore. I'm sure he still fucking does it. And I love that. But because I've heard that scene so much, like, I don't know, it filled me with a different feeling watching that scene than anything else in this marathon would ever even come close to.
The entire
to
Muffin Man bit.
Dude.
Do you know the Muffin Man? Who lives on Drury Lane?
It's funny because I have the exact same, like, reference, right? So we were watching it as a family, and I was, like, in the kitchen making dinner, and that scene was on, and I was like, not the
I know that scene word for fucking word.
What's he say? Like, he says something, like, he gets shitty with him, and he's like, eat it! Eat me! Eat me!
Eat me!
So gumdrop button.
And even that, it leads into the magic mirror doing the whole dating game shit. It's pretty fucking funny, too.
You're a monster! Pick three, me lord!
Pick three!
You're a monster!
So good.
What does Shrek lover say?
Oh, best scene. Shrek. The wedding scene. It's hilarious.
Lame.
There's no gumdrop buttons in that scene.
It's a hilarious send up of wedding scenes in general, such as when Donkey says disappointedly, "He already said it." And then when Fiona wants to skip the I do's, when it's usually the evil prince who wants to rush things. Mm-hmm. More importantly, it's a brilliant reversal of the climax to Disney's Beauty and the Beast. After light shoots out of Fiona's body. Yeah, true, actually. Yeah. After light shoots out of Fiona's body, instead of becoming permanently human, she becomes permanently an ogre. And since an ogre is the form of her true love, the clincher is Fiona's lament. But I don't understand. I was supposed to be beautiful. And Shrek's reply is, you are beautiful.
But is it one of the best wedding scenes of all time?
No. And in fact, I was going to say another Mike Myers film, Wayne's World 2, where he also interrupts a wedding and he's banging on the window. Yeah, yeah.
I'm drawing blanks on wedding scenes. Kill Bill.
MacGruber. MacGruber's got a good one. I blow off Val Kilmer's dick.
All right. I'm going with the gingerbread torture scene. It's great. I have nothing else
to
add.
I'm so glad we think the same
way
on that.
It's really a brilliant piece of writing, voice acting, like just a perfect scene, man.
It's,
I love it.
It's very just like old-timey, like slapsticky sort of back and forth real fast, like stupid shit.
I haven't seen Shrek 2 in a long time. Does Gingerbread Man have a bigger part?
He gets funny that you mentioned that because he gets enormous. he grows to enormous size and assaults the castle while they sing I Need a Hero. And it's actually lit as fuck. That is one of these sick, like, somebody was telling me at work, because I announced at work, like, hey, here's the movies we're gonna do. Uh-huh. And they were like, oh, Shrek 1 is the best Shrek movie, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking stop you right there. Because
the
I Need a Hero storming the castle scene in Shrek 2 clears the entire first movie on its own.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes says it's 1%.
Rotten Tomatoes is dumb as fuck.
1% like, better.
1%, yeah.
All right, that takes us to what do we got? Defining moment, attribute, or MVP.
Okay. So there's a scene in Kung Fu Panda where, first of all, Dustin Hoffman as Shifu.
I love him.
Fuck, he is so good. He's so good. Mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman is good. Dustin is one of the most, he's an amazingly celebrated actor, still one of the most underrated fucking actors.
Who's the dude who fucked you over? Was that Dustin Hoffman?
No,
Richard Dreyfuss,
that old fucking
hates
piece
you.
Of shit, dude.
Richard Dreyfuss hates Nathan Planet.
Yeah, can we? Yeah, just
we'll talk about it another time. It's a long story
for the audience. Richard Dreyfuss does not like me. Dustin Hoffman, as far as I know, is indifferent.
His weekly poker game with Richard Dreyfuss is like, fuck this bald motherfucker,
dude. Fuck it, dude. Fuck that guy.
I hate him too.
So anyway, I just think he's fucking phenomenal. But right. He has a scene opposite, like, Master Oogway, right? Where Oogway departs. Well, he comes to him and says, like, I can't fucking train this fucking panda. You know what I mean?
It's
and,
the Spirit of the West scene, kind of, right? For Kung Fu Panda.
It is, kind, yes. Yeah. And Oogway just says, like, promise me, Shifu. Promise me you would believe, you know, yeah. And then he turns away.
It's a great
and,
scene.
And, like, the music swells, and, like, there's fucking cherry blossoms everywhere, and, like, that's Oogway just departs into mm-hmm. the fucking spirit realm or whatever. But the reason I like... So, first of all, it's a cool kind of moment. It's a cool quote, and visually it's very cool. But it also, like... And the music is brilliant in that scene. But it's the thing that I think Kung Fu Panda does better than... What I think Kung Fu Panda hits on, and it does this in the first movie, and it continues to do this in every other movie after that, is, like, every character keeps learning something. So, like, even though Shifu is, like, the Kung Fu master, he's still a student in this sense. Like, you're always learning something. And this, again, like, this is true of Poe in the rest of the films. Even though he is the Dragon Warrior, he learns inner peace. And even though he's learned inner peace, he learns how to be a teacher. Yeah. And, like, but it's true in this film where, you know, even though Shifu's, like, the guy, you know, Oogway still, like, is teaching him something really important about being that guy.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's really cool. You're always a student. There's always room for growth in your life.
That's a great scene. That was in my headspace for a lot of awards. Kyle?
I've already given it some accolade, but I'm going back with Eddie Murphy as Donkey. And it comes back to that BAFTA nomination, and you know, in the way that Chicken Run was able to get animated films, its due process at the Oscars, I'm waiting for something to come out where people push really hard to be why isn't this up for Best Actor? And then people... Then we can get some love for voice acting. Like, it's such a fucking underappreciated art in Hollywood is voice acting.
Yeah.
There's an incredible documentary called I Know That Voice. John DiMaggio, voice Bender. Mm-hmm. Like, you would know his voice if you've heard him. Like, he directed it. And it's like, it just makes you appreciate voice acting so much more. Like, the amount of work and skill that goes into what these people do. And Eddie Murphy did a fantastic job as Donkey. And
so much energy.
And a lot of these roles, like... You could replace them with anyone, and it might not be as good, but it would still be serviceable. I don't know who you could make Donkey and have Donkey be anywhere near as likable and beloved. Believe that's probably the only choice.
Yeah,
honestly,
Will Smith.
No, not even close.
not even close. Yeah, I agree
no,
with
not
you.
Even close.
So yeah, I don't know who else you would put.
Yeah,
Donkey.
Yeah, you just can't put anyone in those shoes. I don't think.
But I think next year we should probably do Aladdin versus Lion King. Because in 2017 there was no kick-ups, no back doors.
That's right.
And I think that would be a great, you know, versus right there. Just them two.
Yeah.
Because we had like a whole, we had Beauty and the Beast and Gorilla, just Aladdin and Lion King. Yeah. Anyway, my defining moment is
let's get Matt's.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt's. Yeah.
Well, it's almost word for word what Kyle really? Said. Okay. Eddie Murphy, Donkey, BAFTA. Go ahead,
Brad. Okay. Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek point.
So my defining moment is the opening dream sequence and the end credits from Kung Fu Panda. It's all hand-drawn 2D animation. Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. If the whole movie would have been done like that, it probably would have been my favorite movie. Because, dude, oh, my God, it looks so fucking cool. It looks so cool. Did you guys see the... you obviously saw the movie, but I put the images of the opening sequence on Facebook. And it looked... Dude, it looks so cool.
Yeah.
And it's the best animation, I think, hands down, out of this entire marathon. The opening and the end credits. So my defining moment is going to Kung Fu Panda.
Dig it.
That takes us to Best Director.
Man, fucking Gore Verbinski, man. I think he already had strong actors that he worked well with, right, in Pirates of the Caribbean, right? He's got Depp and Nighy. He already knew how to get great performances out of them. So he'd never done an animated film before, you know? Yeah. So, like, obviously there's a lot of CGI in, like, Pirates. You know, Bill Nighy's character, what's his name?
Davy Jones,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, CGI elements, but not it's obviously not a CGI movie. So to be able to do that on your first try and create something that I think is like really unique. You know, it's like this weird blend of like photorealism, but also like exaggerated characteristics, and like they're animals, but like,
but they're just off. There's something.
They're just
off
something
about
off
about
them.
Each one of them. Yeah,
and like, and I know he really pushed for this. Like, it's not quite motion capture, but they call it kind of called it like emotion capture.
Yeah. Where Johnny
like,
Depp was dressed up on set.
Yeah, everyone is. Yeah. They're all acting out the actual scenes, and then the animators are using their real scenes as just references for how they move, and it's not with the balls and shit all over their body, you know, like you know, you think of motion capture, but just like properly acted in a animated way, you know, for someone who's never done that before, like that's really fucking cool,
that's
man.
Some good insight.
And to also get in, you know, and to bring in like Hans Zimmer, who fucking killed it.
Bringing in Roger Deakins,
dude. Like, oh, I don't know, he didn't like do the cinema, but he was advising. You can this movie is fucking gorgeous. Like, there are shots that are like, that's fucking good, man. That's fucking good shot, dude. I just think it's the whole package in terms of direction for sure.
That's good. Not what I went with, but that's you got a great argument.
Yeah. I did go with that. I did go with Gore Verbinski. And I was going to say, you know, the opposite approach that Shrek took, where everyone was in a room by themselves, just recording lines, like having everyone on a soundstage acting out their scenes together, it plays very well, you know, and having them dressed up and using those videos and stuff to help recreate scenes and allowing for improv moments, you know, it's not just, we've already animated this, just give us your voice over the top of what's happening. Yeah. Like, it's, we're going to animate this after you've recorded all the lines so we can figure out, you know, little things that we can add and take away from things. Creating these characters that are off looking. You look at them and like they're clean and they're pretty, but they're also, you know, a bent neck, or teeth are all fucking jagged, and one eye's bigger than the other one, stuff like that. Yeah. Like a lot of cool shit that Gore Verbinski's doing, and like you said, first time doing an animated film and fucking crushed it. Especially you're not being backed by Disney or DreamWorks and things like that. Like, you're doing your own shit.
You're almost changing my mind, guys.
Well, can I just real quickly, like, also, the voice cast in this movie is fucking stacked.
Of all the casts, when you go through IMDb and look at the people, you're like, oh, shit.
Hunter S. Thompson?
You're like, oh, fuck. No, you're like, Timothy Oliphant was in it. That's Ben Wright.
I wish that was Clint Eastwood. Timothy Oliphant did fine.
I'll get to that.
Okay, but okay. Yeah. What does Matt say?
Oh, Shrek. Andrew Adamson. What the fuck kind of name is that? And Vicky Jensen. Sorry.
It's a man's name.
It's
Nathan
not,
Plantanga.
I know. It's just Dutch nonsense. It's not even a word. Like,
what, Plantanga?
Plantanga.
Plantanga. Sounds like something Rango would say. I'm here to take on Plantanga.
So people at work will often ask me, like, how do you pronounce your name? And I'm like, let me just stop you. I don't know.
Just say,
I don't
know. Nathan.
Just
Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan. It's not easy to deliver a film that is consistently funny, but they do it. Through the consistently funny voice performances, clever visual humor, funny reimaginings of fairy tale characters, new characters with ogre designs, and the balance between humor and genuinely moving romance.
Okay. I figured this was going to be a clean sweep for Chicken Run, just because of the
Shout out to Chicken Run.
Oh, for right? sure. Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I went, because it's, goddamn, like, I honestly don't know how people like Nick Park and Peter Lorre, the directors of Chicken Run, can put so much time and energy into one movie. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
Stop motion is on a whole nother level, like so labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And I think Chicken Run was like, what, 84 minutes long, and they were getting like a minute a week of footage?
Yeah.
A minute? Yeah. Would you be fulfilled at the end of the week if you got a minute of film per week?
What'd you do at work today, honey? I made a chicken's wing go up for about 2 seconds and then come back down.
It was like
that took 9 hours, and then we ate lunch.
Yeah, it was like a minute of film per week. They had like 30 sets. I mean, all these animators. I mean, just Google the behind the scenes on, you know, Chicken Run or any stop motion movie. It is crazy. I don't think I could do it.
Oh, it's too tedious for me.
It is. It's too tedious. So I think that is why I'm going best director. I had to go with Chicken Run. So
just Nick Park in general. I mean, that's his whole career, was making these claymation Wallace and Gromit and
all that sort of shit. Just fucking.
I watched a movie last night called Stop Motion, a horror movie about stop motion, and it goes into like the intricacies of like you said, like, you know, moving a piece and then snapshot, moving another piece. I'm like, fuck that.
Like, it's gonna be, you know, an hour just to get this thing to blink. You know,
yeah, right. It blows my mind, man. Yeah. So that's why I went with Chicken Run. That takes us to Wild Card. Nathan, what is a Wild Card?
Wild Card's kind of whatever we want it to be. Wild Card, you know, we used to have a lot more categories.
Bullshit.
Yeah, we used to have a lot more categories than we do now. And so we condensed them, but we left this one kind of open so that we can fill it with whatever we think is. And so I actually used an old category that we used to have, which is Best Duo. So my best duo is Shrek and Donkey. It's fucking...
It's a great one.
You know, these guys weren't... And it's... Okay, so they weren't cast members at the same time on SNL,
right?
But like, they have chemistry as though they were. You know what I mean? Which is fucked up because they weren't even there. You know what I mean? It's so crazy to think they weren't even. They have so much chemistry even though they weren't in the same room. It's I don't know, I think it's wild, man. They have great snappy back and forth dialogue. I think they're an iconic duo.
For sure, it will go down in the pantheon of duos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, my wild card is a big thing for animation is character design and the way things look. And I'm giving it to Rango.
Nice.
Because they're not crisp and clean. There's like when you're looking, you know, at these just, you know, one shots of Rango just staring at things and his head sideways and one eye's bigger than the other. You're this is off. And like, but you fall into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's jarring at first, but then like. It just becomes what it is.
Just a small detail. It would have been like real easy just to give him a straight neck.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. It probably would have been easier to animate, easier to make things move.
But it's kind of like this S-shaped neck. Yeah. You know, I love it.
It's so, and like I said, there's like characters that their teeth are jagged and missing. There's, you know, the one dude gets shot with the fucking arrow and now you gotta animate an arrow. They're wearing clothes that feel lived and worn in. Everything is super crisp. And clean. It's really just fucking good animation and really good designs, top to bottom.
You know, I wish the town was made of more like real world material.
There's a lot of that.
Well, because I think just like all I noticed was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think like the bathroom was like a Pepto Bismol bottle or something crazy. But I wish the whole town was like a shoebox.
I bet there's more if you like really go back and look. I'm sure it's pretty seamless, and there's a lot of dirt flying around and shit. Mm-hmm. I bet if you like stopped and looked at it, you'd pick out individual things more. But
And even going back to, you know, location, we talk about I talked about dirt and the desert and stuff like being a place you don't see. Like it gets us to have all these animals and stuff that you don't see in animated movies either. So you're getting to see all these things. It's like, oh, I've never seen a fucking animated armadillo. Yeah. Like, I've never seen, you know, rattlesnakes and shit like that. Like, yeah, so putting it in that location and getting to see different animals also adds a different element and design to everything.
What did Matt say?
Matt said Rango. Ooh, Rango.
he said Rango?
Combo breaker.
Holy
shit. Sit up for this one. Rango, best villain or antagonist. He went with the mayor. Very nicely voiced by Ned Beatty. He's a truly mysterious and intimidating villain. And it's cool to see such a sophisticated motive as diverting water supply for profit in a children's animated film. He far outshines the hero. Really? I don't think so. Is a formidable foe and is one of those villains where the unassuming appearance belies nefarious deeds. Yeah, great villain. Yeah. Like,
We will accept it.
You know what's funny?
At the table tonight.
It's funny. Like, it just kind of goes back to the animation real quick, but like, even though it's a fucking turtle, I can tell it's Ned Beatty. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can look at it, I can tell that's Ned Beatty.
I felt that way with Rango. Like, I was like, that doesn't look like Johnny Depp, but it's like Johnny Depp.
And you can see Bill Nighy as well. And the funny, though, shout out, by the way, to whoever decided to give him a scales that make him look like he has a mustache. He has this, like, pencil-thin mustache over his upper, like, lip, and it's like, wow, he really looks like he's got a little mustache. It's actually sick as fuck.
All right, guys. So I said this was like my gateway marathon, right? So this is my best gateway movie award.
Nice.
In this marathon, we have, you know, a Western, a Kung Fu movie, a fantasy movie, and a Prison Break movie. I think all four movies are great, you know, gateway movies for kids. But I think Rango is the best. It's a gateway to not... just movies, but like, not just to Westerns, but to cinema, man. Like, I wrote down some of the Gore Verbinski influences for Rango. Check this out. Anything Sergio Leone, Clint Eastwood, the Dollars trilogy, Duck, You Sucker, Once Upon a Time in the West, Chinatown, The Passengers, Cat Ballou, Being There, The Wild Bunch, The Road Warrior influenced the final battle in Rango, and Robert Mitchum's Pursued. Like, the list goes on with just all this classic cinema. So I think kids will be watching not only Clint Eastwood Westerns, but, you know, fucking Chinatown, Mad Max, because of Rango. I think it's the best, you know, gateway movie, so I'm going Rango.
Okay.
All right, that takes us to What the Fuck. Let's give a few runner-ups. Try to keep it to one or two per movie, and then we'll give our main What the Fuck. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, any for Shrek?
Sure. Lord Farquaad. So there was a producer for the film that they didn't like. So they modeled him to look like this producer. And then if you say his name, Farquaad, that's not crazy, but like you take that R sound out and that's what they're going for, and it's Fuckwad. Lord Fuckwad.
Fuckwad, dude, I love it. I didn't know that.
That's it's a way to get away with like calling him a fuckwad, but like putting it in a kid's movie.
That is great.
Lord Fuckwad.
That's great.
For Shrek.
Does that Matt have any for Shrek?
I need to look at his runner ups real quick.
It's kind of all pushed together, so it might take
Keep going, and I'll let me read this.
So for me, while I was watching Shrek, I ran into a video called Shrek is Love, God. Shrek is Life. I need to get this shirt for Matt. Matt, I'm going to be sending you a Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life shirt. Should I say what it's about?
I mean, just Google it. Google it. It's worth a Google.
I think we should probably say that, right? Yeah. Okay, I'm going
to
say
it. I wanted to drive up Google searches for it. Like, what the fuck? Why is everyone looking at this right now?
It's the story. Do you know about this?
I've been to 4chan. I know.
Okay. Yes. It's the story, guys, of a 9-year-old boy who prays to Shrek every night. And then he eventually shows up and sodomizes him.
Yep.
It's so fucking weird, dude. Like, who creates that and puts that out into the universe?
First time on 4chan is
Brad's mad he didn't think of it first.
Why isn't that a fake article? Why isn't that movie trash?
Brad started writing it up, and then a little paper clip came up and was like, do you mean Shrek is Love? Yeah. What? Oh, let me click that. Dude, what the fuck? Someone took my idea.
It is crazy, but it did.
I got scooped.
It did bring me to a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which animated character
is the most fuckable?
Would you like to be sodomized by?
Be sodomized by?
I suppose Rattlesnake Jake.
I was gonna say Miss Tweety.
Miss Tweety.
Oh yeah.
She would.
A little strap on.
She's calling you a fucking dumbass. Like,
but is this appropriate? This is fine, right?
Yeah, this is a kid show.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Who you got?
I guess Farquaad, because he'd have a hard time getting up there. Farquaad. He'd have a hard time, like, climbing up to get me, I guess.
And since Matt's, like, all in, you know, for Shrek, we'll give him the gingerbread man.
Not the handy.
All right, what does he got?
For Shrek, he's saying, like, aside from Lord Farquaad and Fiona, all the other human characters just look super janky.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, but Shrek still looks pretty good for being, like, you know, oldest one for the most part. Yeah.
I got to share this real quick. I got my physical, like, 2 weeks ago. No, you're going to love this. My doctor, I've been going to him for, like, you know, fucking 8-9 years, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, you know, you do a podcast, or what is that? Like, I'm looking for a new podcast.
Oh, as no. He's giving you a physical?
Yeah. Because we're just talking about, you know, everything, and he's like, I'm looking for a new podcast. So, you know, what is it? So he joined right there in the room, so he's probably listening. So a shout out to Dr. Rashida.
Hey, shout out Dr. Rashida.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Simmons, can you turn your head and cough? I know you're in the room, like, right now.
You guys are fucked up, but great podcast. All right, any for Kung Fu Panda?
Go ahead.
You know, it's a movie set in China, and there's a handful of Asian actors in it, and then there are voices like Seth Rogen and David Cross that, like, don't fit in at all. And, like, it's jarringly bad.
And they probably get more time than Jackie Chan.
Like, when David Cross first starts talking as the fucking crane, I'm like, why would you choose David Cross of all... Like,
it's weird.
Great voice actor, but not for this movie. What? Yeah. Seth Rogen is in everything, but, like, why is he a fucking praying mantis?
Yeah.
What, like, I don't know. Some of the voice acting choices in that, like, weird, right? Made me mad.
Jackie Chan, that would be...
Jackie Chan's great. Why wasn't he, like, a more prominent fucking voice actor in the movie?
Lines. He has nothing to do. Like,
Angelina Jolie's fine in it. Like, Dustin Hoffman's fine. You know, Jack Black makes sense because he's an outcast.
Yeah.
Ian McShane's got that deep, you know, scary voice, but he doesn't sound Asian.
Right.
I don't know.
And they're not consistent with that. I mean, like you get, like, Gary Oldman's the villain in the second one. He's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
He, you know, who's the guy? Who's Kai in the third one? State Farm guy. Bald guy. State Farm guy.
Dennis Haysbert? No.
You know who I'm fucking talking about.
State Farm guy?
Yeah, dude, fucking J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, J.J. Simmons.
It reminds me of Mutant Mayhem, where you have, like, Giancarlo Esposito, right?
Yeah.
You put him on the poster, but he's got, like, nothing to do. You got Seth Rogen in Mutant Mayhem as, like, Bebop or Rocksteady. Yeah. Nothing to do, you know? Just so you can, you know, populate the poster.
Yeah,
you know?
That's probably true.
It sells in China, I guess, if you got Jackie Chan on there.
Yeah.
Then they're pissed because he only has two things to say.
For Kung Fu Panda, he said that the final fight between, and I agree with this, between Po and Tai Lung is a little too humorous for, like, a final boss fight. You get that it's a kid's movie, but, and I don't like comparing films, but the final fight in the sequels, much more intimidating and more gravitas. That's 100% true. Yeah. The final fight with Tai Lung is really goofy.
Yeah, he never felt like he was, like, close to defeat at any point.
No, he actually just fucking destroys them.
And I was like, oh, that was like, no, it should have been a fight. Like, you want that hero's comeback. You want that Rocky story, you know, to end your fucking movie. And I was like, oh, that was not how I wanted that to go. Okay.
Yeah. I agree.
My Kung Fu Panda was Jackie Chan, you know, limited voice time.
Yeah.
Rango, any for Rango?
I have one for Rango.
Okay.
So, the Spirit of the West... I like that they have Timothy Oliphant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a big
Deadwood,
fan. I love that he is. But the Spirit of the West is clearly Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's clearly Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And when he turns around and you see Clint Eastwood's,
basically
his face, and Timothy Oliphant's voice comes out, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
It just doesn't sound.
I think it works.
I think it's fine. But I just, every time I see it, it's like, I really like this scene, and I love that they got you for it. I like the casting.
It would have been a defining moment if it was Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, but if it was Clint Eastwood, man.
Icing on the cake instead of,
Yeah. That's, and I know Matt does too. He said, how is the armadillo not dead? Gets nearly cut in half. How does that happen?
Yeah. True.
They're not realistic.
He's
not realistic. Yeah.
I got two quick ones for
metaphor.
This one. One, Rango is modeled after Don Knotts. Which
if you look
at Rango, you go...
Was it Shakiest Guy the West?
When you look at Rango, you go, yep, that makes fucking sense. Yep, 100%. Exactly.
Yep.
And the other is the quick cameos by Raoul Duke and Dr. Gonzo. Like, this is a fucking supposed to be a kid's movie, I guess. And it's like, let's have a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas reference early on in the movie. And it's just like, I don't know. I'm not quite knowing what this movie is yet, and you're throwing Fear and Loathing at me. It was a little awkward to me.
There's one more, but it's my actual what the fucks. We'll come back to that.
So I have my number ones from Rango as well.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, so Chicken Run.
I have nothing from Chicken Run, but Matt says, Fowler bonking Bunty over the head with a metal rod. Really,
see that 10 times fast.
Fowler bunting Bunky head with a metal rod. Really, what the fuck? Someone is annoying you doesn't mean that you assault them.
True, I guess.
What the fuck?
It is illegal. mine is, we talked about it a little bit earlier, how there was a strong campaign for this to be Best Picture. It'd be in the conversation. No. No. Which of these movies are you replacing to put Chicken Run in? Aaron Brockovich? No.
Yeah.
Traffic? No. Gladiator? Fuck no. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Absolutely fucking not. Chocolat? Maybe. No, but even Chuck-a-Lot's fine, you know? Chicken Run doesn't replace any of those for the best picture nom.
God. Chicken Run, can we make it a what the fuck where it's they have like the oven, the chicken pie oven that's like very World War II Nazi shit. Yeah. Like, it's pretty dark, man, you know?
Yeah.
It goes with the prison, you know, kind of escape thing and the time, you know, the era, but kind of dark, right?
Yeah. Nazis aren't fun.
Yeah, no, not at all. Miss Tweedy's a Nazi. My runner up here for my number one, it was gonna be my number one is from Chicken Run. And it's do you remember the scene where Rocky ziplines over to the farmer's house to save Ginger?
Vaguely.
Because it's that scene with the oven. Ginger's in the oven. And he ziplines, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Why the fuck didn't he just teach everybody how to zipline over to the farmer's house, like at nighttime when they're sleeping, and then escape through the fucking front door?
Right. True. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Because, you know, like they all couldn't get underneath the fence.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Fat. They're
wings
fat.
And one. There's one that's too fat. Yeah. That's why.
Would they be too? Yeah, one.
Wait, leave the fucking one behind.
Leave the fat ass behind. We're not fat shaming.
Yeah. No, but like.
But
leave the fat ass behind.
Hey, but shout out to Chicken Run. I've realized that Mel Gibson's American because of this movie. I've always thought he was Australian.
Yeah.
I love his character, by the way. I think his character's great. But yeah, just teach everybody how to fucking zipline. Get the fuck out of there, man. End of movie.
Yeah.
End scene.
Well, the fat one couldn't zip line, so
that's fine. Yeah. We went over that. Yeah. I'm canceled for that one. So. All right, that takes us to our number one what the fuck.
There is a joke in Rango that I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it's pretty fucked up.
Okay.
And it's where they get captured, and they're in the vault, and they fill it with water, right? And he's taken a bullet out of his gun, and he's hidden it in his mouth for later. So when he and Beans kiss, it goes into her mouth, and she starts choking.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? And he goes, I don't want to alarm you, but I think you just swallowed Plan B. And it's like,
oh, wow.
Is that an abortion joke? Is that an abortion joke in a kids movie? I don't know. Is it supposed to be an abortion joke?
I think it's supposed to be.
It's very.
I didn't even think about it, but you're
little
right.
Double entendre there.
I'm always like, that's a little abortion humor. It's a little, every time I watch this movie, I'm
like. Well, kids can grow up with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're teaching kids how to pass that off to the girlfriend.
Sure.
You don't want one? Okay, well, let's just have a kiss. Let me
turn around. Let me turn around.
I gotta drink a little water. Hold on. Jesus Christ.
We've said
What's your doctor's name? Pass that advice along so you don't get in trouble.
Doctor canceled.
Doctor canceled. mine is, you brought up the song All Star by Smash Mouth, right? And how iconic it is in this movie. Originally for the movie Mystery Men, which is a movie I fucking love.
Oh, I love that movie!
I love Mystery Men. Oh, yeah. Really? But it's more known for being in Shrek. The funniest part about this is when they test screened it, you know, they hated Mike Myers' voice, but they just put All Star in there as a placeholder and planning on doing an original song. But the most positive feedback the movie got was the usage of that song. So they decided to keep it in, and then Smash Mouth does I'm a Believer at the end, and they were just like, well, we want to, you know, for giving us this song, you know, we want to pay it forward. We're not going to use the fucking Monkees version or whatever. We're going to let you re-record it and put it at the end of the movie. So it's just like fucked up. One of the most iconic things from the movie, you know, the All-Star and that fucking montage. Aww. It was just, they were just like, oh, we're just putting this here until we can fucking write an original song. Damn, and then they kept it.
Yeah.
What you got, Nate? Or Matt?
Well, Matt said, number one, what the fuck, Johnny Depp's main voice is just really odd for Rango.
I don't get that, really.
And his Rango personality voice is weird, too. Hmm. Perhaps that's the point, but it just doesn't work for me.
I think it's one of his best characters, man.
Yeah. So it feels quirky, kind of for the sake of being quirky, just doesn't connect with me.
Yeah, but I think that's the point, is that he's out of place.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
exactly. He doesn't quite fit and make sense.
Like I said earlier, I think it's the quintessential Johnny Depp, you know, character.
Yeah.
All right, so my number one is, you know, all the movies we watched, they have sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Rango, like even Chicken Run.
Chicken Run finally just came out with Netflix.
Dawn of the Nugget.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, guys, like, how the fuck did Rango never get a sequel, man.
I mean, it bombed, didn't it?
I don't think it bombed. It wasn't like, you know, Kung Fu Panda, right. You know. But
I don't know, guys, this
blows my mind, man. I would tomorrow, dude, if it came out, I would watch another adventure with Rango, and like in a different genre. Give me a Kung Fu movie where he's an actor and he has to, like, you know, do the Kung Fu thing, or a fantasy setting, or a prison
break. Or a French lesbian movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the best friend to an ogre. And like, I don't know. Like, I think sky is the limit for a Rango sequel, especially how it just kind of pays homage to, like, cinema in general. Like, I think the sky is the limit for, you know, doing another Rango movie. Do a trippy fucking drug movie with, you know. Do Traffic with Rango.
Just redo Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Rango.
Dude, I would watch the fucking living shit out of that. Best movie of the year.
And then at the end, Shrek comes in and rapes a small child. Yeah.
Sodomization.
Just for the record, Rango was both a major critical and commercial success, grossing $245.7 million against a budget of $135.
Oh.
So, yeah, considerably, yeah.
I would love a Rango sequel, guys. I think it would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it to a different genre.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of genre would you like to see it go to?
I don't know, man. That's a tough question.
Dude, James Bond, like a spy.
I don't know, man. I like Rango how it is. I don't know. As I get older, I just want people to leave shit the fuck alone.
Just leave, you know what I mean? Leave it.
Yeah, they don't gotta be a Rango sequel where
you're probably right.
What if it's an Indiana Jones type movie, though?
If it's better than any of the other shit they're coming out with.
It's a remake of Dial of Crusades.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's Dial of Destiny, but with a lizard instead.
I'm sure that's, yeah.
All right, so that's my number one. Did we cover everybody's number one?
We did. All
right. So that takes us to worst.
So, Chicken Run. Yeah. I think I said Rubber Chicken Run. In my opinion,
Rubber Chicken Run.
Boom!
I would be surprised if this were not a unanimous worst picture from everybody at the table, and not because I think it's bad. I don't think it's a bad movie. I just don't. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's just
honestly,
fine.
I liked it more this time around than I've ever liked it.
I had never seen it before.
Yeah, it's probably my number three.
It was the first one. I watched these in like chronological order.
Okay.
And, like, I like it just fine. But I think when you put it up against, like, Shrek and Rank, I understand why it belongs in that conversation, but, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? So, yeah. You said same.
Yeah, it's the same for me. And it's not a bad movie in any way, but I've seen better Prison Break movies. I've seen better claymation, stop motion movies. And the humor just wasn't landing with me as well. And I think some of that comes down to the voice cast. Like, I was like, oh, who the fuck is that? Who's that? Oh, okay, I know Mel Gibson. I know Timothy Spall's got a small character. Yeah. But, like, I don't know some of these people. And that's not necessarily, like, a bad thing. But, like, some of it just, like, everyone just kind of sounded the same sometimes. And I was like, we're all chickens. And some of them aren't super distinguished from a different one. And, like, I'm like, I'm not even sure what character this is every once in a while. So,
I'm not gonna stick up for it in a cockfight.
Right. Right.
But
we are coming with the puns.
But I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad, but, like, yeah, it's stacking up against some pretty heavy hitters. Yeah. So
I think what you said just now makes a lot of sense. You had said that, like, I think there are better Prison Break movies. And I think when you compare it to something, for me it's like Rango. When you compare it to Rango, where it's like with this one there are better Prison Break movies, but with Rango, it's like
one of the best westerns.
I think it's one of the best westerns in the past 20 years. And I think that's really, and the same can be true of Shrek and fantasy adventure movies, and the same can be, you know what I mean. So, that's where the difference is for me. Yeah.
All right. What does Matt say?
Oh, Chicken Run. He's. I hate to say it because several of the jokes were funny and the characters were charming. However, it just didn't feel competitive in any of the categories. The chicken coop location is fun, but it's also obvious. I can give it points for originality, you know. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna break the clean sweep here. Really? I'm going with Kung Fu Panda.
You really?
Yeah,
are.
Yeah. Like so.
I guess you haven't talked about it much.
So
tonight.
Yeah, like I said earlier, if this movie was made like the opening dream sequence, the ending, the end credits, the hand drawn Japanese animation, like, goddamn, that's so cool. This movie probably would have been my favorite, but I don't think it ever gets better than that opening sequence or the end credits. Jack Black is great. He's the reason you watch this movie. Other than Jack Black, I'm just kind of like, you know, like Jackie Chan doesn't have anything to do. I think the martial arts story just isn't up there with, like, you know, the martial arts movies that we've watched, like Rango is with the Westerns, you know? Overall, I think it's a solid kids movie. If I have grandkids, like, I'll sit them down and watch Kung Fu Panda. I think there's a great moral lesson. It's colorful. Like, I think it's a solid kids movie, but personally, it's my least favorite.
Okay.
Out of these movies.
Yeah.
And then Chicken Run. So Chicken Run would be my number three. Yeah. That takes us to the granddaddy boys.
Whoa.
Best picture. Where are we going?
Rango.
Rango!
I'll be really honest, guys. When I first started this, I thought Shrek was going to be best picture for me.
It was going to fuck Shrek. The donkey, huh?
Yeah, I thought, yeah, because it's fucking Shrek. You know what I mean? Like, it's just iconic. When I started watching the movies, I think Kung Fu Panda is my favorite to watch.
Yeah.
I love Kung Fu Panda. And as I was watching them, I thought, like, man, Kung Fu Panda is probably going to be my best picture.
So when I did this gateway genre thing, I thought of you for Shrek, and I thought of you for Kung Fu Panda, because I knew you liked Kung Fu Panda.
But it wasn't until I started doing the awards that I was like, Rango's running away with shit. And I didn't expect that until I started writing it out. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, Rango's kicking the shit out of, you know. And it's just, it's like categorically, it's just like, when I write the awards, Rango just took so many more than I expected it would. This is a film that hits hard for me across all categories. I've considered nominating this for Pantheon a number of times.
So have I.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this really, this episode really solidified how I feel about it.
That's nice. Yeah, for sure. I like it.
For me, it is going to be Shrek. I think Shrek is consistently funny. There's no, like, real slow part to me. I think the ending is a little abrupt. I think that's probably my only, like, real knock on the movie, is it just kind of like, oh, you are beautiful, end of movie, and now we got to dance song sequence, you know? But incredible voice acting, you know, all the way through it. Animation that still holds up. I know Matt said some of the human faces are a little weird. Yeah. I kind of agree, but, like, you're also kind of very early into your, you know, CGI and DreamWorks.
Do you think it's the worst animation, though, out of this marathon?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But there's still some good shit in it. Like, Shrek looks good. Donkey looks good.
I bet it is the worst animation if you think about it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, though, like, it looks fine. I think it looks fine. They're not going for photorealism.
Do you think Shrek 5, though, will lean into, like, the more of the Puss in Boots, kind of, like, cel-shaded? But it's, like, cel-shaded,
sure.
And, you know, Shrek didn't look exorbitantly better as the films got on. Like, it did. It got better, you know, like, in the same way Toy Story did, where you look at Toy Story and you look at Toy Story 4 and you're like, fuck, what a difference, you know? But, like, I think they do fine with the animation. The music, even though it's not original, like, it's used well, and All Star, Hallelujah.
That opening from Dana Glover, man, that theme, that Shrek theme is so magical.
It's just a fun, inventive idea to, like, turn all these fairy tale characters on their head and make them just gross and disgusting. No. And I really enjoy Shrek. I just enjoy it.
Like,
I think it's a great fucking movie.
All right, what does Matt say?
Shrek. It's a postmodern fairy tale that mostly uses humor to inform characters rather than simply for jokes. Even the gross-out humor is there because Shrek is an ogre, and thus doesn't think twice about doing gross things. Screenplay nicely balances different types of humor, such as, like, pop culture references, sexual innuendos. The characters' voices and appearances are very fun, and the film's moral about self-acceptance is genuinely moving and effective. It is an all-time modern classic.
Yeah, and I agree, but I'm going with Rango. Shrek, a close second. I think Rango is one of the best Westerns in the last 20 years, something we've said a few times in this podcast. I think on the surface, it's a fun kids movie, but the themes are very adult. Great movie for kids to grow up on. I think it'll get better with age, you know. It's a celebration of movies, from classic Westerns to, you know, Chinatown to Mad Max. Beautiful cinematography from Roger Deakins. I think it's one of Johnny Depp's best movies. Best characters. In my opinion, Rango is the best picture, going Rango. Any comments before we take a break? Nathan?
No.
No. Kyle?
I'm excited to see what comes out ahead here.
I think it sounds... it sounds close to me, so I'm eager to see how things shake out, for sure.
All right, let's take a break. We will count the golden idols, and we'll be right back with the results. We are back, but before we crown tonight's golden idol winner, Nathan, let's talk about the Facebook poll.
Facebook poll had a pretty good turnout. Yeah. I checked the votes right before we went into the studio. There were 170 total votes, so it was pretty good. We'll start at the bottom. Last place was Chicken Run with 7%. That's 13 votes. Rango, actually, just above that at 12%, 21 votes.
Rango!
Kung Fu Panda, after that at 16%, 28 votes. And then Shrek, fucking destroyed, 63%, 108 votes. Just some comments real quick. Thomas Levesque said Shrek. Brandon Saltzman said Shrek all day. Joe Cavelli said Shrek, and it's not even close. Marshall Wade said Rango may be the best overall film, but I think Kung Fu Panda wins with Shrek as a close second. And like you said before, he kind of said that he almost doesn't consider it a kid's movie, you know, because it deals with some deeper themes. And AV's own Al Patrickson said Rango.
Nice. All right, Kyle, we will turn it over to you. Do you have the awards counter?
I have the final results. And while the poll is important and we love the feedback on it, what happens at the table is Hoyle. That's what matters when it comes to Pantheon. So in last place, Chicken Run ended up with 0 points. All three of us at the table gave it 1 point, I think, and it all lost points to worst picture from three of us. Kung Fu Panda was in third with 8. And then it was neck and neck, back and forth, all the way through until the final category. With 20 votes was Rango and 21 for Shrek.
Oh, man!
It was very close.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Matt and I didn't use ties, and we both went Shrek, and it ended up boosting it at the end.
So, I love those close races, though. I love it.
All right. Now comes the immortal question.
Yeah, though. It's time for the big question, man. Does Rango... No.
Chicken Run Pantheon.
Does Shrek deserve Pantheon? Nathan, what is Pantheon?
So Pantheon is the house of the gods. Pantheon is the special shelf where you put all the best movies. It's basically just a special sort of hall of best films for us. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's films that are... They fire on all cylinders. Best of the best or super unique, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They deserve special recognition.
All right, so who wants to kick it off? Actually, let's let you kick it off because I know you're a big Shrek fan.
Sure, yeah. I mean,
that's why Shrek is in this marathon.
I gave it my best picture. As you mentioned before, I think I put it up at the end of the year poll once. I've considered nominating it for Pantheon because I think it is a Pantheon movie, and I think it's something that, yes, should be kicked up. And in all fairness, I probably would have said yes to Rango, too, if it had won. But the other two, I would have said no. I think these two just stand head and shoulders above it. And since Shrek eked it out, Shrek's the one that's getting the nod from me.
All right. Do you want to
do
Matt's?
I'll do Matt's. We got Matt's over there. Matt had said Shrek. He said, I'll give it a kick up. I'll probably say yes if it gets kicked up, but it might not be a resounding yes. However, there's not much of anything that anyone could have done better except maybe make the humans look a bit better, offer a slightly better soundtrack. So All-Star is well used, such and so is I'm a Believer, but the songs in the middle are solid, just not as strong. The characters are iconic. The story set a strong enough foundation that there's going to be a Shrek 5.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what do you think, man?
You know what, man? Like, I'm having a hard time with it.
Be honest.
I'm having a hard time because, like...
Sometimes it's easy to be sour, too, when you're like, well, if it's not Rango, then it can't be anything.
Obviously, I wanted Rango, but I'm not trying to be like, oh, fuck Shrek. Because I like Shrek. I like Shrek just fine. Yeah. I love Shrek. But as I watched the films, I kept feeling like, I like Shrek. I think Shrek is an entertaining movie. I got really no problems with Shrek, but it doesn't hit me the way that it hits other... It's not... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think it's entertaining. I got really no problems with it. But does it hit me the way that, like, Rango hits me?
Yeah.
I don't think it does, man. And I feel like if I say no, I feel like I'm just kind of a dick if I say who the fuck doesn't think Shrek is Pantheon.
Yeah. There's plenty of times when like one person has been the blockade. So.
Yeah. Brad, go you go ahead and then come back to me real quick and then just let.
I'm kind of curious to see what you're gonna say here.
He was waiting on you for his answer.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where like.
Well, let's look at it. So fairy tale movies, there's not a whole hell of a lot of them, right? I mean, aren't Disney fucking based.
Yeah,
right?
I love this. Kyle's giving you the hard sell.
No, I know, but if we're talking about like.
If he says no, that's what it is. I don't care. But like, it's just to help you because you feel like it seems like you're on the fence. You're like, yes, I understand its cultural importance. It is a good movie, but does it hit me the right way? And I have truthfully,
like, no fucking problem with this movie at all. I just don't know that I, like, but I feel like a dick not kicking it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's why I'm just kind of interested. Like, if you're going to say yes, then maybe I'll just be like, fuck it.
But you got to be true to yourself, though. Like, because it's going to be kicked up in front of the entire fucking council.
Well, you... you tell me what you're going to say.
They're going to have to watch another movie. We have Lady on
Portrait
Fire.
Portrait of Lady on Fire.
With a portraits of, you know, with the fire.
Yeah.
That's up for Pantheon, so they're going to have to watch this. Like
that Pornhub shit.
That Pornhub French film. I do think Shrek is Pantheon. It's not my favorite. I like Rango. You have Beverly Hills Cop in this, man. You got fucking Austin Powers. You know, you got the Gingerbread Man. You got I love that score. The opening theme. Like a lot of people probably don't know what I'm talking about, but it's just that lovely, beautiful thing.
When they're like going through the book and shit.
Yeah, like I don't know if this will play, but.
Yeah.
It's just like this beautiful like opening. That's not it actually, but but it's the opening theme to Shrek. I think it's beautiful. That's not Pantheon at all. No, but the main theme song, the DreamWorks like opening to Shrek, is like so beautiful, man. Like it's Pantheon fantasy music, you know, like fairy tale music. Beautiful. You know, story. It's got the deconstruction of fairy tales. It's a spoof of fairy tales. It's a celebration of fairy tales. Like Eddie Murphy, you know, doing the voice acting. Like, you know,
The way it turns the ending on its head too, where it's not like, oh, the guy gets the princess and like now he's, you know, a handsome man when he should have been ugly. And Matt was right about that Beauty and the Beast like turn on its head, where it's like, oh, now she's. Right. Ugly, but she's beautiful to him.
Yeah,
I like the
voice acting across the board. Who plays Lord Farquaad?
So John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, man, such a great villain. Yeah. I think Shrek is a Pantheon animated movie. So, yeah, I would say yes to a kick up.
I will say yes to kick up. It's one of those things where it's like the poll is fucking overwhelmingly Shrek. Like everyone else at the table feels like I'm not saying I'm going to say yes to it, but like. Fuck, obviously people want it to be Pantheon. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it at least deserves to be discussed. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's a wrap, man. Shrek is getting kicked up to the council for Pantheon consideration. Any other comments, Nathan?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was a close one. I like this. You said it's been a while since we've done animated movies, like 7 fucking years since we've like honed in on it. And, like we've talked about, like, oh shit, Don Bluth, and we got all these other DreamWorks movies, and we got all this and this and that. Like, there's a lot to tackle here, and voice acting itself, I think, is just, it makes me appreciate it more when we actually sit down and talk
about
it.
In this slot next year, should we do Lion King, Aladdin?
I'm always down for that.
I mean, that sounds so cool, yeah. I mean, I loved it when we discussed it the first time. We could talk about Scar's death again. That was fucking great, man. Where he gets like, that's one of the best deaths.
The most legit song.
Scar is love. Scar is life.
No.
Yeah. All right, let's close this mother down. As always, I hope everyone enjoyed tonight's conversation. Where can Videoland find you?
You can find me on Facebook, on the AV group, just like where the story begins and ends. Or just like,
And Pornhub.
Yeah, and Pornhub. You can find me on Facebook at Kyle Brown. You can find my socials on Movie Script Life, or you can, if you're in the Lafayette area, come see the prom in May. I'll be singing and dancing, apparently.
Nice. You can find me on Facebook as Brad McBoom. You can also find me on Instagram and the website. You can find Matthew Wade on ilovesshrek.com.
I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah, and you've been listening to Criticism in its finest hour. Until next time, my good people, Shrek is love. Shrek is life. Shrek is everything. Peace out.